And God's good. He's so good. Amen. He died for your sins. That's enough to thank him for. Through all eternity, I can praise him for this fact. I once was lost, but now I'm found. By and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. Amen. God is so awesome. We're going to read a few scriptures, and I'm going to let you sit down. I know you've been standing for a little while, but you probably need to work off some of those Christmas calories anyway. Matthew 5 and 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You can be seated. I was with a guy one day, and he had got kind of dressed up for the occasion. And when I first seen him, it was really interesting, his choice of attire. He had on a pair of shorts that was orange, like really bright orange. And the shirt he had on was pink. And it looked kind of like it was real fluorescent looking. I didn't say anything, but it kind of caught my attention. And we made our way through the golf course, and we came up on these old men. We didn't know these guys, but, man, I liked them instantly. They pulled up and looked at him and said, "What's the matter, buddy? Was the power out when you got dressed this morning?" I said, yeah, I like these guys. And he just kind of smiled, and the other guy said, "No, I think it's that Pride Month stuff going on." And I said, "I like you guys. I like y'all really good." So the guy called me the other day, and he said, "Hey, I'm getting rid of a bunch of these shirts." He said, "Do you want them?" I said, "Not that orange one. I don't. Don't want the orange one." But when he said that about light, you know, have you ever tried to get anything done without light? It's extremely difficult. If your lights aren't on, you can come out looking a little different than you should. People accuse you of all kinds of things. Light is important because what light brings is illumination. And what illumination brings is revelation. And the very first thing in the Bible, when God began to speak, the Bible says in the beginning, there was nothing. There was nothing at all. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit moved, and God said, "Let there be light." The very first thing that God spoke into existence was light. Here's an interesting fact. He didn't create the sun and moon till later on. So there was light before there was ever a sun. And so don't get too excited. They're really nervous. They're saying that the sun is going to burn out, which I've often wondered, how does the sun burn anyway if there's no oxygen in space? But that's neither here nor there. But anyway, they say it's going to burn out eventually. And there are people that get really nervous about that. I know a fella, every time I see him, he talks about how many solar flares happened the last year and that the sun is going to exhaust itself. But here's what's really awesome about that. The light that God spoke doesn't come from the sun. He spoke the sun into existence to rule over the day that he had already created. So when we get to heaven, this is going to be pretty awesome. There's not going to be a sun or a moon. But he's going to be the light of that city. He is the light. We don't need the sun. We don't need the moon. All we need is Jesus. Because if you've got him, you have light, and everything's going to be all right. He said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. When God speaks, things come to pass. We serve a speaking God. God speaks. And when God doesn't speak, then we're in trouble, because God is a speaking God. He could have very easily just thought the world into existence. He could have very easily just thought, let there be light, and cause light to come about through thought. But God doesn't work that way. God works through speaking. He speaks it into existence. So if we are the children of God, Eric, we must too learn how to speak the things of God. Not just think them, not just wish them, but actually begin to speak them. There is a logos and there is a rhema. There is a written word, but there's also a spoken word. When you take the written word and make it the spoken word, hell takes notice when a child of God speaks. Because we're not speaking just normal things. We are speaking the words of life. You've got to learn how to talk to your situation. I know we sit by and we talk about our situation. We talk to each other about what we're going through, but we need to start looking at the problem, talk to the problem with the word of God, and let us speak into the situation. We're able to speak things that aren't as though they were. You are able to worship God knowing that his nature will bring it to pass before it ever comes to pass. Let me make this clear. Eric, I can stand up in church and say, God, I thank you. You are going to save my family member because you're good, because you're merciful, and because you did not bear that cross in vain. When I speak like that, hell takes notice, heaven takes notice, because the spoken word is important. He said he's going to speak this light. He said, let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be illumination. Let it pierce through the darkness. When God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It's very interesting to me that Job said the way that light travels. Light has a way, but darkness has a place. Let me say that again. Light has a way. Darkness has a place. That means darkness does not travel. It has a place that it exists, and the only place darkness exists is in the absence of light. Light travels. It has a way. That means it must originate in a spot and go to the other place. Darkness does not do that. Why is that important? Because we need not to fear the darkness, because the darkness cannot stick around when the light comes in. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not that light, but he came to bear witness of that light. I'm not the light, but I've got a witness that there's a light that'll pierce the darkness. We need to speak light to this dark world. I'm tired of talking about the darkness. I'm tired of talking about the sins of America. I'm tired of talking about the liberals and their agenda. It's time the church rises up and speaks truth from house to house and let this world know that Jesus is still alive and His light is still shining. We can talk about it, and we can complain about it, and we can fuss about it. And 2024, I don't know about you, but I'm already. We got people running out. They're going to bring COVID back because the election's coming. Watch, COVID's going to come back. COVID, they're going to bring it back strong. We'll be masked by October. You know what the problem is? We've been masked too long. Let me say that again. The church has been masked too long. Not only where we can't be seen or heard, but we put up this facade. We need to get down to the real light and let it shine. Amen. Light's important. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. I know y'all know my analogy on this, but I got to share it with you. How many people like Bath and Body Works? Raise your hand. Do it again. I see about three guys. Take them outside. Man, I walk into that place and I get dizzy. There are so many smells in there. I go in, I'm like, whoa, man. It smells like appleberry, pumpkin, cucumber. Something. My wife gets so excited when she gets a candle that is on sale. And she brings these tarts home and makes me smell them one by one. Come on, y'all guys with me? Hey, check out this one. Check out this one. Check out this one. Man, them candles. I gotta admit, I didn't raise my hand, but I don't like going in Bath and Body Works, but I love the way them candles smell. Come on, AJ, say amen. I know you're trying to be all tough right there and say, it's all right. We was at the mines one day, Randy, and they were talking about candles, and this guy started naming off flavors like he knew them all. And we had a mechanic there, little fella. They called him Shorty. I don't know why. And I said, Nathan, quit rattling off all these flavors, man. He was like, why? I said, it just like you're losing your man card. How do you know so many of them? Like, you know their real names. He's like, I love them. He said, I'm going to start selling some. I was like, man, you disgust me. And it got real quiet. And our little mechanic, we're on night shift in the darkness, I heard him say real sheepishly, I guess, I like them too. No, Shorty, not you too. The problem is, what we've done is we've skewed and we've made the purpose of a candle not what it was exactly designed to do. We use them for decoration and we use them for scent. But the purpose of a candle is to give off light. That's the purpose of the candle. And I think the church has mixed it up a little bit. And we think that our purpose is to look good to the world and to be attractive to the world and smell right to the world, when our real purpose is not to do any of those things. Our purpose is to shine light in a dark world. And if they aren't attracted to the smell or the sight, they must be attracted to the fact that they're in darkness and this light will show them the way. So we come to church to look pretty and smell pretty. But the problem is, when you light a candle, the only way it puts off light is by consuming itself. Oh, let me say that again. The only way that we're going to shine a light to this world is when we start consuming ourselves. Our God is a consuming fire. When we lay down our dreams and our aspirations and all the things that we want to do and say, God, burn through me, no matter what it takes, Lord, let this world see you, we're going to catch on fire for the kingdom of God. We don't serve God into addition of what we're already doing. He's not an add-on in our life. Just don't bring him in and add him on to what we're already doing. No, when God gets a hold of your life, he changes everything. Can I get a witness? He'll change your day planner. He'll change your work schedule. He'll change a lot of things about you. Well, we want this nice little middle class American Jesus that fits right into our schedule. And we pray, God bless what I'm doing. God bless what I'm doing. God, I want you to bless what I'm doing. And the whole time he's saying, do what I'm blessing. Do what I'm blessing. Do what I'm blessing. He's not an addition into your life. No, he's got to be captain of your life, or he's not part of it at all. I know the enemy lies, and he tells us so many times that our light isn't enough. I can't preach like this one, or I can't testify like that one, or I can't sing like this one, and I can't sing like that one. He didn't ask you that. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and then glorify your Father which is in heaven. Shane, if you would, turn off the screens. You know, we are a society that are addicted to screens. Amen. Did you have anybody at your Christmas gathering this past week and the whole time they was with you? They were glued to a screen. You're like, hey! Hey, over here. Over here. Over here. Turn out the lights, Ian, if you would. I want to show you how important it is. I know this is elementary. We all know that. All of them. Can you get that back screen for me, Shane? Ain't it interesting? Ain't it interesting that just a little bit of light coming through that door makes a difference? It doesn't take a lot. It just takes a little bit. Johnny, I want you to run around the church. Lord, what a willing vessel. I don't want you to run slow. I want you to run fast. He said that's out. The problem is in the darkness, it's so difficult. But it's not very bright. It doesn't have to be very bright. Now the goal is to make it brighter. He said, thy word. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. See, Johnny, when you get ready and it's time for you to go, what you need is to take this light. And when you take the light, listen to this really closely. It's a lamp to your feet. See, we've got to stop taking the light and looking at everybody else's path and figure out that the Word of God is a light to our own path. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The light is for your path. How'd you pull up my Apple Pay? What are you buying? Here's what's amazing about this. Is there are people that when you shine your light, listen to me really closely. When you let your light so shine, not at men, but before men. What's the difference? The difference is this. When you shine your light at men, how's that working out for you? How's your sight going? What are you blinking for? Why are you squinting for? Because when you shine the light at men, it doesn't help them at all. But when you shine the light before men, they see your good works. And what they figure out is he's going places that I can't get to. And they come along and they get with you. And you can show them the light of the glorious gospel that'll save them from the darkness. Thank you, Johnny. I won't make you run. Everybody, I wish I could video. Oh, yeah, he's. Hold on, Clarence. good job. Come on, Ian, turn the lights on. What happens? It messed with y'all in that little bit of time, didn't it? In just that little bit of time, walking in the darkness messed with your vision. Say that again. It doesn't take long when you're fooling around in darkness to lose your vision. And without a vision, my people perish. Oh, preacher, this ain't that bad. I don't see anything wrong with this. Oh, preacher, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all. No, the problem is the enemy has tricked you to walk outside of the light, to pull you in the darkness. But it is our mission this year at City on the Hill to let our light so shine before men that they may see and glorify our Father. Oh, listen to this. Raise your hand if you ever got aggravated at a center. Raise your hand if you just ever just wanted to shake them. We're going to have an altar call for every one of y'all and your anger management problems. Mike, we witnessed to them. Tyler, we tell them about Jesus. We witness to them. We're like, hey, you know what? Listen, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about him. And they won't listen. I remember this very vividly. We decided we was going to go to Walmart and hand out tracts. Y'all know my story, right? You remember that, Aaron? I had to come up with a line. You know, I needed an opening statement, something that I could say. So I was young, and this was my line. Hey, we're not Jehovah's Witnesses, but we're out telling people about Jesus. We'd love to give you a tract or a card. Hey, we're not Jehovah. Listen, if you say that long enough, guess what's going to come up? Yeah. I said, hey, we're not Jehovah's Witnesses. She said, well, I am. What do I do here? Well, you can be saved too. I kept witnessing and witnessing and handing out tracts. Some people got saved right on the spot. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm just not doing what I'm supposed to do. You know how many times I heard that? You know how many times they told me that? I was talking to somebody just yesterday. Who was it? Who was I talking to yesterday? Why is my mind blank? They were telling me about loving people and loving Jesus. And people say, I love, it was you. I knew you was in my driveway. I just didn't remember who you were. Said, could you imagine marrying somebody and you marry them and you don't do anything they want you to do, and you do all the things they don't want you to do and never do what they want you to do, but you keep telling them you love them. You think eventually they're going to figure out you don't love them. We got people running around the world say they love Jesus and they never do what he wants them to do, and they do the things he doesn't want them to do. That's not love. That's not love. Everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is not saved. I keep handing out my tracts, and this lady comes up, and I said, ma'am, we're out spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. She said, I don't want it. I said, ma'am, I'm just trying to tell you about Jesus. She said, I don't want it. She rolled her buggy on by, shopping cart. And I got mad. Righteously indignant. It's different. I said, I'm not going to let her go. And I took off after. And she seen me coming. And she said, sir, I said, I don't want it. I'm not trying to sell you insurance, lady. I'm trying to keep you out of hell. She didn't want it. She didn't want it. She didn't want it. What do you do when they don't want it? Keep shining your light. It's not going to work every time, but it's going to work sometimes. So use it. I'm going to preach on you now. Get ready. Get ready. Get your toes ready. How many people did we lead to the Lord in 2023? How many people did you witness to that you knelt down somewhere and prayed with them? How many times did that happen? If it's not once, we got to do better. There is no way in 12 months we can't find somebody that we can shine a light in front of and lead them to Jesus. Can you say amen? Shame on us. Shame on, well, preacher, I didn't have time. Let me see your phone. Well, preacher, I just couldn't. I didn't. Well, what happened was, Let me see your accounts. Let me see where we're spending our time. You say, well, I didn't. No, let's just say what it is. It wasn't that high of a priority to me this year. But I want to preach to us. I want to change us. Because I want to make it the number one priority in all of our lives. This year, I'm going to lead at least one person in prayer of repentance, and I'm going to lead him to Jesus Christ. Can I get that commitment? I'm going to do it. I need somebody to make a commitment, because I guarantee you, if you shine this kind of light in front of the world, there's somebody going to see it, and they're going to want what you have, because this Jesus is too good. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and then glorify your Father which is in heaven. The purpose is to bring glory to Jesus. I said the purpose is to bring glory to him. We need to change our actions. We need to change our motivation. We need to change the way we testify. Amen. We need to let the world know. If you don't know the story, I'm going to share it with you. We were at the mines one day, and the wall was falling. It was dangerous. We were right there in front of it. The superintendent's right there in front of the miner. I had to go out and get some tool when I'm coming back through the pit, and the guy's standing down there, and he says, hey, James wants you up there with him. I said, why me? He said, because you're a preacher. I said, preachers die too. I said, y'all know the Apostle Paul is dead. Just because I'm a preacher don't mean the rocks miss me. Well, he thinks so, so you're the only one that's allowed up there. So I got up there with him. Rocks everywhere. We're praying. I'm praying. He's awful close to me. Let me tell you this, though. I thought about that. And I thought, man, you know what? He must have felt safer around me than anybody else. And the reason he felt safer around me is because I have a relationship with somebody that's able to change things. You know, we need to let this world know, I know you're in a hard time, but I want to show you the light of the gospel. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians, or as Trump says, 2 Corinthians. 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Listen to this. Here's where you come in. This last part of the verse is for you this year. Ready? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They are going to be blind unless somebody shines the gospel for them. They are not going to see. The God of this world has them blinded. The God of this world is my enemy. If the God of this world has them blinded, I have a glorious gospel that'll rip his kingdom apart. And I don't care how blinded they are. I've got a Savior that when he says, see, they got to see. On purpose. You got to do this on purpose. You got to do this on purpose. Well, I just don't know. I just don't know, preacher. I really don't have the time. I really don't have the time. Yes, you do. To you young people, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all of those are going to be a witness against you. You did have time. To you old people, recipes. Well, never mind. Facebook, TikTok are going to be a witness against you. You did have time. I hope God doesn't pull up our screen time when we tell him we didn't have time. Say amen or oh me, either one. Man, it's time. It's time. Christy, last year I prayed for 100 souls. I didn't get them. So this year I'm praying for 120. Well, you didn't get those. No, they're just delayed. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. I'm going to do everything I can to get ready for when they get here. Oh, somebody say amen. Do you understand the potential in this room? Do we understand the potential in this room? Man, listen. I'm not doing this to swell. How many people enjoy preaching at this church? Raise your hand. Me too. Me too. Bring them here. Get them here. Just get them here. Bribe them. Don't. Get them here. Get them here. Why? Because this world is looking for something. You know how I know? Because it's in a mess. It's in a mess. Let me. Come on, Aaron. Come on. I got to quit. Come on. I want to share this with you. How many people think our country's in worse shape now than it was 30 years ago? Raise your hand. How about 40 years ago? How about 50 years ago? It's worse. It's worse now than ever. Right? Is that what we're thinking? You know what? You know what? You know what I love is when people talk about how Christian America used to be. How Christian it used to be, and now it isn't. Tell you something about this country. It's always been a mess. It's always been a mess. Does anybody know what the prohibition is? Does anybody know what the prohibition is? It's where they outlawed the sale of alcohol countrywide. You know why they outlawed the sale of alcohol? Because everybody was drunk. Everybody. They couldn't get a workforce to work because everybody was drunk, so they outlawed the sale of alcohol. But what happened was the church stepped up and had revival, and people got saved and turned our country around. Prohibition wasn't going to help anybody. Jesus was. It's been like this all throughout history. The question is not how evil the world is. It's will the church rise up and be the church again? Darren, I read about past revivals and I get jealous. I read about a street preacher preaching on a street and hundreds of people giving their lives to Jesus. I get jealous. I read about the revival in Wales and how a few coal miners, one coal miner in particular, said, I'm going to pray 30 minutes every day before work. And then another coal miner joined in and another coal miner until revival began in the coal mine. They said you could feel the presence of God in the coal mine greater than you could in the church. People came from all over the world. The story said they would get off the train. People would ask them, where were they headed? We're going to the revival. They would point in a direction and say, go that way. They said, are there any turns? They said, yeah. Where do we turn? They said, you'll feel it. You'll feel it. Man, I get jealous. But what'll happen? What'll happen? Thomas, I got it timed out to a T. I mean to a T. I don't have to be at work till 6 o'clock. I leave my house right on time. I pull in to the parking lot now at 3 till. Every day. I'm never late. 3 minutes early every day. Pull in, jump out, grab my boots, listen to everybody stand around, smoke cigarettes, and suck on them USB things, them flash drives. I don't know who the first person was who wanted to suck on a flash drive. They make me mad too. I know y'all have heard this before, but I get out of my truck and I smell blueberry pancakes. I'm like, man, they brought us breakfast today. And you walk around the corner and it's blueberry smoke, vapor or something. Man, I got it timed out. But it hit me the other day. I thought about, before I started working on the minor, I worked on the strip, and I was there early. On Monday mornings, I was there early, every Monday morning, because we had our safety meeting. And at the end of every safety meeting, they'd say, "Preacher, pray. Preacher, pray." We have separate meetings now. So I don't see those guys, but I will our next safety meeting. Made up my mind, I'm going to walk in 30 minutes early, and I'm going to sit with the strip. And I want to hear their safety meeting. And when they get done, I want to pray for every one of them. I'll still have time to get to mine, because theirs is always later. So everybody's busy. What will it do? I don't know. But I'm going to pray. Tracy, I'm saying this in front of everybody. Kick me out of the bed just on Monday mornings. Don't you bother me on Tuesday. Got that timed out. But Monday morning, I'm going to be at that safety meeting, and I'm going to pray. He said, it's just a prayer. It's just a prayer. It's just a prayer. Dustin told me the other day, he said, they're asking me to pray at the safety meetings. I said, that's awesome, man. I said, what do you say? He said, I pray the same prayer that you prayed when you did them at our other mines. Good deal, man. Good deal. There's no patent on prayer. Pray it. I want you to help me pray. But I want to pray for each other, that we're going to lead somebody to Jesus this year. How awesome would it be, Leslie, if you led Eugene to the Lord this year? Is that impossible? Not at all. How powerful would it be if Alan came over and you led him to the Lord? How powerful would that be? Hey, is God able? It's God, but right now, will you stand to your feet, and would you just put your hand in the hand of the person beside you? Would you reach over? And would you seriously pray, God, begin revival through my friend. God, make a move through my friend. There's so many people I'm going to come in contact this year, Lord. God, I want to make a difference. Would you pray for them and say, God, help them shine their light, Lord. The God of this world has blinded them. But God, I'm going to shine a light. I'm going to make a difference to your glory, to your glory.